As we mentioned already, this is the first of a series of messages from Mark. Our goal is not to cover all the book of Mark, but just hit certain highlights in that book. So a couple things I want to mention about Mark. It's the shortest gospel, one of four accounts of Jesus' life. And Mark, you know what? I can take this off, can I, while I'm up here? I guess he's used to having this on. Some people say that Mark has an emphasis on Jesus being a servant. And in conjunction, they'll say Matthew emphasizes Jesus being king, and Luke, Jesus being a man, and John, Jesus being God. And one of the things in the book of Mark that you'll see is that it's very action-oriented, maybe a model servant who's quick to act. In fact, there's one word that's used 41 times in this gospel, and that's the word immediately. 41 times in that short book. And the passage we read today, Mark 1, 1 through 13, it is mentioned twice. Immediately Jesus did this, and immediately this happened. So it sounds like Mark that wrote it is probably a man of action, especially serving. What a huge quality. So today's passage, to read it, we're going to be watching this video. It's from this website. Maybe Matt, not Matthew, but Nate, you can put that slide up there for the website. This is a website you can go to. Well, it would be, we'll get to it pretty soon. Well, before that even, it's hard to read at the top there. That slide, the PowerPoint slide number 2, it has the website there. There we go. live.bible.is. So you can take note of that, because you can go there anytime on your phone or anywhere, and there you'll have scripture in video in 500 languages on your phone. And really, the app is Bible Is. The Live is a website. You tech people would understand it better than I do. So Bible Is, Bible.is is the app that you can download. I have it on my phone. I pull it up in conversation with people. Well, here, you can watch the Bible being acted out right here while it's being read. And we're going to listen to it in ESV today. You can choose NIV. I don't know how many English translations, but 500 other languages too. It's pretty cool being acted out. And so today, the focus is on John the Baptist. You're going to be reading and seeing John the Baptist and Jesus acted out here. And his role brought a lot of excitement to Israel. A lot of excitement. That excitement, you have to look for it in this passage. In the video, a little bit of it is brought out, but I'm convinced there's a lot more than that happening, because his role was very strategic, and it fit in with what was being predicted in that country. But his role has many similarities to the role that you and I have today. Think, what? We're like John the Baptist? Yes, in some ways. Not in every way, but in some ways. So as you're listening to the passage and also the things that I'm sharing here, be thinking about that. What similarities are there between me and John the Baptist? And we're going to wrap up with that perspective, talking about the similarities. Because it's pretty exciting when you see the similarities and the opportunities that God's given to us. So let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 13. Nate, you can let the video go now for that.
And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. The voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him.
That's the end of our passage for today. But there's more all the way through the Gospel of Mark. You can watch it on your own. So, the role of John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. Like you heard out from the passage already, the second verse, the first verse is the introduction to the gospel, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, and he quotes from chapter 40, verse 3. Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare the way. And the next verse is a quote from Malachi 1:3. No, the one I just read is Malachi 3:1, sorry. And now we're the second verse of Mark chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3, getting my numbers mixed up, is a quote from Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Both those quotes emphasize the word prepare. That was the big emphasis of John's role there. And that is extremely obvious in the role of John the Baptist, because every single gospel writer quotes that same verse, Isaiah 40, verse 3. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, it's quoted. And in Luke, it's quoted in Luke 3. But also the angel, when he talked to John the Baptist's father, the future father, the father that John the Baptist would be born to, Zechariah, which, little sidelight there, for those of you using the New American Standard Bible, it says Zacharias with an N at the end, but the newer translations have an H that they have on them, Zechariah. So I'll be referring to him as Zechariah. Quotes that, and then Luke chapter 1, the angel says, this is your son's job, to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And then in Luke chapter 3, he quotes Isaiah 40, verse 3, the same one. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus himself is speaking. And he quotes the same passage, Isaiah 40, verse 3, to describe John the Baptist. And then in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist himself, when people came up and asked him, when he was starting to preach like this, who are you? And he quoted Isaiah 40, verse 3. I am this messenger that's being predicted there. It's like everyone involved knew this was John the Baptist's role. It wasn't a hidden thing. It was told by angels to Joseph. Joseph, the angel that talked to Joseph, said to Jesus that he's going to be the savior of sin. And then I won't go into all the details, but they're relatives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so Mary visited Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And that's when John the Baptist leaped inside when Jesus, who is inside of Mary, who's now pregnant with the Savior, came to visit. And so they all knew. And I think they had been telling John the Baptist, this is who you are. The angel said, this is your role. You're the messenger before the Messiah. So it's interesting for me to think, what happened? Because I expect those cousins or second cousins might have visited each other. They go, you're the Messiah? And she's going, you're that messenger that he talked about in Isaiah? Yeah, I'm that messenger. This is what would go through those kids' minds, and they're growing up and their parents are telling them, this is what the angels told us. I don't know how much the parents told them, when they told them. Maybe the parents would, should we tell them at age 12, 10? I don't know. That's just interesting to think about. But so it's no hidden secret. When Jesus came, John the Baptist knew who this person was when he walked up. When Jesus walked up in the video there. Okay, so this, obviously when you think about that, built up the excitement. So when John the Baptist started going out to tell people, I am that messenger who Isaiah predicted, preaching like that, that was no small statement to make. Because Israel had been waiting for like 500 years. About 500 years before that is when Isaiah made that statement. And here he was. When is the Messiah going to come? Because they knew that Messiah, Isaiah said other things a lot of things about the Messiah, and one of it was that he, a couple chapters later from this quote right here, says he will bring justice to all the nations of the earth. Wow, that's heavy duty. And he will conquer all the enemies of Israel. Whoa, Israel been so suppressed. Right now the Roman government was suppressing them, putting them down. They couldn't wait to have the bonds, the suppression of the Roman government thrown off. And here this guy, John the Baptist, said, I am the one giving you the message that the Messiah is coming. And their minds are going, we're going to be set free. Our enemies are going to be done in. Justice is going to be brought to all these people. That was exciting. Very exciting for them to think about. And so here was the messenger, and the excitement was increasing a lot. Look at that phrase, verse 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. This was big stuff. This is exciting. I'm convinced it wasn't just because they're convicted of sin. Oh, this guy is preaching against sin. We need to go get convicted. No, they were very excited about the coming of the Messiah. It reminds me of this picture here. I experienced something like this. This is the streets of Chicago when Queen Elizabeth visited this country in 1959. And crowds were there. 4 years later, I was in Ethiopia, second or third grade, about 1962. She came to visit Ethiopia. Well, there's a lot of Australians, English people at our boarding school. And the Queen of Canada, Australia, England is coming to this country. Let's go see her. They took us out there, and we were waiting for this queen, this important lady to come. And I remember in these crowds, when's she going to come? When's she going to come? Motorcycle came down the road. Like here, there's motorcycles coming up front. I don't know that they had that many. I could hardly see what was going on. I was way back in the crowd. I felt like Zacchaeus. I wouldn't need a tree to climb up, but there was no trees to climb up, waiting for the queen. And so the motorcycle is coming. So everyone's like, okay, is the queen going to come? Where's the queen? Oh, Ten. I don't know how much longer, just waiting and waiting. Oh, here comes motorcycles. The lights are flashing on these motorcycles. These must be the messengers. The queen is on the way. And so everyone's jostling. I couldn't get the road. I was just a little kid. And so I just remember just a lot of waiting, a lot of excitement, motorcycles going by with lights flashing. Oh, that meant the queen was about ready to be there. I don't remember how much more time it was, but finally she came. I just remember some black car off there, and I wasn't sure if I was seeing the queen or not on the distance. Could hardly see what was going on, but at least I was there. And I got the feel, and so just multiply that. That was just a little bit of excitement about this important person coming to the country. But imagine if you'd grown up, been told that sometime the Messiah is going to come. Generation, 500 years. And here's a person saying, I'm the messenger. Angels brought the message that I'm the messenger because the Messiah is here. Wow, that was a big deal. Very big deal. And so that's, we've already talked a lot about that, of what brought the excitement to this point. And so in Mark 1, here comes John the Baptist. In chapter 4 through 6. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So there's two things that stand out to me about the emphasis that he had and what he was saying. The first is in these verses 4 to 6, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. When you think about it, essentially he was preparing their hearts, the hearts of the people, for the coming of the Messiah. And then the second part of his message is in verses 7 through 8. He says, and this was his message. So already it says he was preaching baptism for repentance for sin, but obviously this is another part of his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That was the other emphasis of his message, to help them understand who this Messiah is. who the Savior is. So prepare your hearts and then look for this kind of person. This is what the Messiah is going to do. In fact, when you think about it, he was saying, he's going to give you a new heart. I baptize you with water, and which is good for us to think about here. When you think about the baptism of repentance for sins, some people will think this baptism is saying, I will not sin anymore. That can be a result, or that will be the result. But repentance in itself is the Greek word metanoia, which is a change of mind. So I'm changing my mind. I don't want to live for myself. I don't want myself to be my God or any other God, but I want to live, I give myself to God. And so when I turn to God away from myself or idols or whatever, I end up giving up sin. But the focus is not just give up sin. The focus is turn to God for repentance. And so that's why John was baptizing for asking people, give yourself to God. And so Jesus, when he came to be baptized, he wasn't saying, okay, I'm giving up sin. No, that just makes a clear picture. Why did Jesus want to be baptized? Well, he was focusing on the real meaning of baptism. Give myself to God. And he was there giving himself to the Father. He told John, I need to be baptized as a public demonstration. I am giving myself totally to God. And that's a big emphasis, not just not turning away from sin, but turning to God there. Okay, those are the two aspects of his message. And then other ways that John the Baptist prepared the way, besides those two aspects of the message, is, well, even that second part of the message pointed to who the Messiah is. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29 and 36, John the Baptist outright told the people that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Lamb of God. When he saw Jesus, he says, look, the Lamb, that man is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wow! What a statement to describe the Messiah. I don't know of anyone else in that 500 years who described the Messiah that way. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant, and yes, he took on himself our iniquities and the sin of the world. But even in that chapter, maybe indirectly, but not directly, called the Lamb of God. Somehow John the Baptist understood things so clearly about the Messiah's purpose to take away sin. They said, look, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Helping people have an understanding of the Messiah. Luke 17, in chapter Luke 1, verse 17. The angel, when he talked to Zechariah, made some interesting comments describing this messenger that was the forerunner of Jesus. And in that verse, the angel says, he quoted Malachi 4:6, the last verse in the Old Testament. This messenger is going to turn the hearts of the fathers toward the children. He will turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children. Wow. That is interesting to think about. That's part of John the Baptist's purpose, turning the hearts of the fathers to children. You know what? That's part of the preparation for the Messiah. Elevating the role, the importance of the role of a father. And I'm sure the role of fathers and mothers. Helping their children be prepared in their hearts for the Messiah. So that's what Luke said about John the Baptist. And also in that same verse, Luke 1:17, another purpose would be for John to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Turn the disobedient people, turn their attention to the wisdom of the righteous, which is essentially turning to God and who he is. So those are different aspects of John the Baptist preparing for the Messiah. And it's also interesting for me to think about the teamwork that went into this preparation for the Messiah. Because it wasn't only John the Baptist, kind of like a football game. Quarterback can get a lot of attention, but really, if he doesn't have the rest, he's in trouble. We saw that last Sunday, the play there. He needed his team to protect him. And John the Baptist, it is teamwork. John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, had huge roles and bringing him onto the scene as the messenger before the Messiah. And Joseph and Mary, the father's parents of Jesus, and what they understood in preparing the way also for Jesus and with John the Baptist there, because Mary visited Elizabeth and encouraged Elizabeth in her role in raising John the Baptist to be that messenger. And then even John the Baptist, not only a lot of people involved, but his role, he not only preached, he baptized, he trained disciples. He spent time with a bunch of other men as his students, training them, two of which became the disciples of Jesus. But John not only preached a message, but he trained men who were prepared to become the followers of Jesus later on. And of course, he even baptized Jesus himself. So there's a lot of aspects of this preparation is going on. So then the other aspect of what's in this passage here is, of course, John's role, especially. Then in verse 10, or verse 9, Jesus himself comes on the scene. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John. And so we've already talked about his baptism, obviously, was symbolic of giving himself to God, not turning away from sin. Because obviously Jesus didn't have to turn away from sin. He was living a perfect life to that point. But he was baptized. And when you think about the life of Jesus, there's a lot of similarities between us and him. A lot of differences too, because he was God who is living here as a man. But he lived here as a man partly as an example to show us how a person can live in fellowship with the Father. He is tempted in everything as we are. He can identify with us. We can identify with him. So in that sense, there's a lot of examples of how he lived his life and examples for how we live our lives in fellowship with the Father. So I just quickly made this little chart up here, making some of those correlations of what I see happening in Jesus' life and our lives. And the first one, this correlation, is that God used John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus in coming to Israel. God uses people to prepare the way for Jesus to come into people's lives today. And then many people had a part along the way with John for him to have his part in preparing Israel. Many people today have a part in preparing someone to come to Christ, or even preparation for the coming of the King of Kings, still yet in the future. The Holy Spirit affirmed Jesus when he publicly gave himself to God, and the Holy Spirit affirms us when we give ourselves to God. That was one thing interesting there in that chapter. You see the Trinity in bright reality right there. Jesus, the Son of God, was there as a human being. And it says, when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came on him as a dove. The Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit come on him. And then a voice from heaven that obviously wasn't Jesus' voice. And the passage here it says is separate from the appearance of a dove. Voice from heaven says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. It had to be the Father talking to him. So the Son, the Father, and the Spirit, three, but they're all God. And it's, in one sense, dramatized out there. Scientifically, I can't explain how that all happens, but that's reality. Three persons, that make up one being of God. We see that right there in Mark chapter 1 there. And it says, the Father was well pleased with Jesus when he publicly gave himself to God. Father's well pleased with you and I. When we give ourselves to God, when we come to Christ, the Father is well pleased. He gives assurance in our hearts that we're his children. We can call him Abba, Father. And Jesus' purpose was to walk with the Father and serve people. It's like our purpose is to walk with the Father and serve people. So what other similarities do we have between then and now in preparing people for Jesus? Well, like we've been talking about, most of the people of Israel had been waiting for the Messiah to rescue them. And most people today are not waiting for God. Back with Israel, I'm not sure they're waiting for God necessarily, but they're really waiting for someone to rescue them. And a lot of people want help out of whatever situation they're in today. They're looking for someone that will love them, maybe. That's a personal desire a lot of times. They're looking for a different government. Some government that's going to take care of me, whatever way I think a government should. Meet all my physical needs, whatever, protection. Do what I think a government should do. We've heard a lot about it this last week. We'd like a different government. That's a common desire people have. Better education, better job, more money, more comfort, more pleasure. On down the list, that's a desire people have, and a lot of people wait all their lives fighting to get that, working hard to get that, failing again, giving up. This is never going to happen. And similarity back then in Israel and today, John the Baptist is trying to help people understand it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem, and the main help the Messiah will be is to rescue us from our sins. A Savior from sin is what we really need. That's what the Israelites needed, the people of Israel needed back then and today. That's what we need. And all that's gone on with the Senate trials, impeachment trial this last week, what has happened to our country? Well, it's the same basic problem we all need help with. That's the problem of sin, ultimately. And our Savior is the Lord Jesus is the Savior that will provide our most basic need, a solution to our most basic problem. So our role in a lot of ways is similar to John the Baptist's role. It's very important. John the Baptist's role is obviously very important for that time. And the role that you and I have is extremely important also, because we have the privilege of being used by God to prepare the way for Jesus to come into the life of any person that we know. Jesus wants to come into their life. For that person to be his child, that's the personal level, but also he wants every person to be prepared for his return of King of Kings. We're the people have that role of preparing the way for the King of Kings, hopefully to enter in personally, but also when he comes, and every knee will bow at that time. So here's some principles of how God uses John the Baptist and how he uses us. One is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 15. John the Baptist is communicating God's word, and we have opportunity to communicate God's word and all the things that go with that. To help people understand God's Word. And this whole series that we're in, the book of Mark, get God's Word out to people. That's our role, like John the Baptist. Bring God's Word to people in any way we can, any form we can, to expose them to that truth. And then to also see the need in their own hearts. And again, God uses all kinds of people. Like with John the Baptist, all kinds of people had a part in preparing that way. And the reminder that the role of the fathers was extremely important back then and extremely important today. Fathers giving their lives to kids. And it's interesting also that God's purposes are usually carried out in normal daily life. John the Baptist grew up like a lot of other little kids. Jesus did. His parents were investing their lives in him. That's normal life. But eternity was being changed. The country of Israel's destination is being changed, and the whole world is being changed by God at work through daily life. And so a father giving his life to his kids, there's nothing that's more important in that sense. Like the angel mentioned here and Malachi mentioned, turning the hearts of fathers towards children. What does that do? Prepares the way for the Messiah. Prepares the way for Jesus. And so it's the same principle for you and I in every situation that we're in. And then so principles of what? What needs to happen? What are the principles that need to happen in people's lives for them to know Jesus? Well, real simply, it's like we've been saying, the first is for people to understand their heart condition. To realize it's a heart problem. My heart needs to be humbled before God and to be open to Him. and how destructive it is for me to focus on selfishness and living apart from him. Helping people understand their heart condition, like John the Baptist is doing. And we have many opportunities as parents, friends, all of that. And then people need help to understand how to recognize their Savior. Because you and I have not been, we don't naturally look for the kind of Savior that we really need. We're looking for a Savior to give us what we want, but often what we want is not what we really need. And that's a challenge. All of us are familiar with that challenge, and all of us have been guilty of that. And God's helping us understand, Mike, this is your real problem, and this is help that you really need. And it's Jesus that I really need. And so what opportunities do we have to prepare the way for Jesus? Those of you who are parents, your children. Wow. And for all the rest of us, any relationships we have with people, that's our opportunity to be like John the Baptist, to prepare the way for Jesus. And so we could talk about a lot of examples there, but every day when I meet with people at Lenexa Public Market, I'm often carrying my Bible and schedule book, and a lot of you carry your phones there, but I'm conscious that when I'm in Lenexa Public Market, like I'm other places, people will probably see me praying, probably hear me saying something about God, like I often do in conversation. So always a Christian. So when I go in Lenexa Public Market, I often try to buy something to show respect for the people there, buy some hot tea. And when I buy some hot tea, which is one of the cheapest things I can find there, but I like the hot cinnamon tea, I add on a tip. I add on a tip to the drink because I want to be known as representative preparing the way for the Messiah who's generous, loving, respectful, whatever else. I can have a role in all these little things to the day because that's my role all the time, preparing the way for the King of Kings. I'm his representative there. And so that's why every day I ask, pray for my neighbors. They don't see me praying for them, but I'm praying for them every day for God to work in their hearts. The Holy Spirit can help prepare them for the coming of the King. And hopefully they'll open up before he shows up and they have to bow. I won't have any choice but to prepare the way so they can open up their hearts to him as soon as possible because he's available to them right now. And we could just go on down Clifton. That's why he spends hours almost every day of the week out at Planned Parenthood. In these cold days, this last week, he's in coveralls and answered prayer cap on his head that's keeping him warm there, being a messenger, preparing the way for the King out there, pleading and preaching to help people understand what's going on, their need, and who the Savior is. And a lot of examples. That's why Nate and Stephanie are online every week with one person out of, what, about 600 invitations you guys gave out last spring or summer when we gave out invitations in the neighborhood, little flyer. They're meeting with one person from those. That one person's valuable. God is using them to, well, that person's already opened up to Jesus, but they're having a part in helping that person get ready for the King of Kings. And our lives are filled with opportunities to have that role of John the Baptist preparing the way for the King of Kings. And it extends out from here, not just here. That's why we're involved in work in other countries. I threw up one picture here on a slide there. Francis just sent this to me last week. Grandma Depp. Wow. I don't know how much longer she has to live on this earth. She spent most of her life not knowing about the King of Kings and the Messiah that's coming. But we can work together as a team to help the Filipinos send a missionary to Cambodia, living in this village, getting out the message. The King is coming. He wants to come to your heart right now. Who is he? Never heard about this. And here she is. She doesn't know how to read, but with teamwork, we've gotten to a speaker box The whole New Testament, the story of John the Baptist, she's holding that right there in her hands in that picture inside that box. The story of John the Baptist and Jesus on the whole New Testament in her language. She's excited about hearing it, and she's a grandma. In Cambodia, you never say no to grandmas. Whatever they want to do, you let them do. If they want to play the speaker box so all the family can hear and the neighbors can hear, you put up with it. You don't tell them to be quiet. And so Francis has been getting the speaker box to a lot of grandmas in his neighborhood. Grandmas who have come to the church and said, yeah, I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about the Bible. They don't know how to read. Get them a speaker box, take it home. They listen to it, and we're praying. I can have that role. I can send the money, encourage Francis. He's there. It says partnership, preparing the way for the King of Kings. Wow, it's exciting. It's exciting, but it's daily life. So easy to get caught up in the daily life, like John the Baptist and Jesus, but every little thing, God is at work to prepare the way for the King of Kings. What a privilege. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being preparers for you. Thank you for the example of John the Baptist and his faithfulness to prepare the way, to help people understand the problem, to help people understand who the Messiah is, especially when the Messiah did not fit the description, that this, the preconceived idea that a lot of them had. But your Spirit is always at work, helping us and all of our preconceived ideas of who you are and how you work. Keep opening up our minds and keep helping us learn to be effective ambassadors, representatives, messengers to prepare your way into the lives of every person we're in touch with, Lord. Our children, our neighbors, who we work with, who we meet on the street, people that are watching us that we don't even know their names. We have an effect on them. Lord, help us be alert to walk with you, to effectively prepare the way for your awesomeness. And we do look forward to that. When do you come, King of Kings? We all get to bow before you and run into your outstretched arms, which we will do as your children, especially because you are so loving, even though you are so powerful. How exciting, Lord. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.